You know that moment when you finally get above flight level 350, you pull out your phone and you try to check weather at your destination, and the connection icon just spins. Yeah, that might actually be changing. I'm Tower, and this is AT on Radio Hangar. United Airlines just confirmed which widebody fleet gets Starlink first, and the answer is a little surprising. It's not their newest frames. It's the ex-Continental Boeing 777-200ERs, the legacy birds. And there's a good reason for that. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's what you need to know. United has been rolling Starlink across its narrowbody fleet for months now. The Airbus A320 family, the Boeing 737 Maxes, passengers have noticed the reviews have been, by airline Wi-Fi standards, genuinely positive. We're talking streaming quality bandwidth at cruise altitude, which for anyone who remembers paying $14 for a connection that couldn't load a weather radar image, that is a different world. But narrow bodies are the easy part. Wide bodies are where it gets complicated. These aircraft fly oceanic routes. They fly polar routes. They're above water for hours at a stretch where traditional air-to-ground internet simply does not exist. Satellite connectivity is the only game, and until recently, the satellite options were slow, expensive, or both. Starlink changes the math because of constellation density. SpaceX has north of 6,000 satellites in low Earth orbit. That's not a handful of geostationary birds sitting 22,000 miles up with latency you can feel. These are low orbit platforms closer to 300 miles altitude, and there are enough of them that you can maintain a link across the North Atlantic, across the Pacific, over the poles. The coverage map looks fundamentally different from what Gogo or Viasat or Panasonic Avionics could offer even 3 years ago. Now, why the ex-Continental 777s? United operates several sub-fleets of the 777-200ER, and the former Continental frames are a distinct group. They were delivered starting in the late 1990s and into the 2000s under Continental Airlines before the merger with United closed in 2012. These aircraft have been through multiple cabin refreshes already. They're workhorses on transatlantic and some trans-Pacific routes. And here's the practical piece. When you're planning a fleet-wide retrofit of this scale, you pick a sub-fleet that gives you a manageable batch size, common configuration, and routes where the upgrade makes the biggest difference. Oceanic routes check that last box emphatically. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though. This is not just about passengers watching movies. Think about what real-time high-bandwidth connectivity means for flight operations. Electronic flight bags updating in real time. Maintenance data streaming off the airplane during cruise so the ground crews know what's waiting before the wheels touch. Dispatcher and crew communication that doesn't rely on aging ACARs. Text messages with character limits that feel like they were designed in 1985. Because they were. For those of us in general aviation, the trickle-down matters too. Starlink already sells an aviation terminal. It's been approved for Part 91 operations, and a handful of business jet operators are flying with it now. The hardware is not cheap, and the subscription is not trivial, but the technology is proven. As United and other Part 121 carriers scale this up, the equipment cost curve bends. That's how these things always work. The airlines pay for the first generation, business aviation gets the second generation, and eventually GA gets something affordable. We saw it with GPS, we saw it with ADS-B, we'll see it with broadband in the cockpit. There's a competitive angle here too. Delta has been investing heavily in Viasat. American Airlines went with a different provider. United betting on Starlink is a signal about where they think the technology is heading, and it puts pressure on every other carrier to match. When one airline can offer genuine broadband over the middle of the ocean, the others can't sell a $19 connection that buffers on a weather.gov page and expect passengers not to notice. The timeline United has laid out puts these ex-Continental 777s through the modification process starting later this year, with the work expected to continue into 2027 as they move across the wider widebody fleet. If you're flying United Transatlantic in the next 12 to 18 months, check the tail number. You might be on one of the first. One more thing worth noting, the supplemental type certificate work for Starlink on the 777 platform is significant engineering. You're cutting a hole in the fuselage crown for the antenna fairing, running power, and data lines, certifying the radome for the aerodynamic and structural loads at Mach 0.84. The FAA does not hand those STCs out casually. The fact that this is moving forward on schedule tells you the certification pathway is mature. This one came via simple flying. If you want to dig into fleet details, they've got the breakdown. That's your ATIS update from Radio Hangar. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Safe flying out there.